Welcome to Greenview Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Eternal Father, this morning we come before you, pleading with you from our hearts that you give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love. Not as you have always known, but a fresh understanding. Let the love of God fill this atmosphere this morning and bless us with your presence. That as I speak the word of God to the glory of your name. Every man, every woman who will hear your word this morning, including the preacher, may our lives not remain the same. Hand over this moment to you. Help us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'll be speaking on the topic, love for peace and unity. Love within the church for peace and unity amongst us. Love within families for peace and unity within our families. Love in our hearts for peace and unity wherever we find ourselves. So the topic this morning is love for peace and unity. You would agree with me that the 110th convention in session of our great denomination that ended some few days ago, the theme for the session was entering into newness through love and unity. And various messages have been preached in the past 1 week. A lot of us have been blessed with different kinds of messages that have been preached in the past 1 week, calling our attention to the very issue of love and unity. But today particularly, the Lord is still interested. The Lord is still interested in furthering this conversation with his church. And our focus for today will be on love for peace and unity. So as a church, if we are to experience peace and unity, we must love like Jesus loved. So, and that is the message I bring to you under God's grace this morning. And I trust the Lord that our lives will be blessed. Turn with me your Bibles to the book of John chapter 13, verse 35. John 13, 35 is the scripture that we have been using for the past 1 week, John 13, 34 and 35. So we'll read John 13, verses 34 and 35. The Bible says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." The translation on our screen says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he said that you also love one another. Then in verse 35, by this all we know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this, I'll use this passage to bring out three things and we pray. The very first thing I want to call our attention to as we look at this scripture carefully, understanding love for peace and unity. If we are going to love in order to experience peace and unity as a church, as families, and as individuals, looking at this scripture, the first thing we must know is that we must see it as a new commandment. We must see it as a new commandment. And if we are going to teach this outside this, we may be making a lot of errors. We must see it as a new commandment. And Jesus himself, beginning this conversation, could not run away from it. He said, a new commandment I give to you. So carefully for me, it seemed to me clearly that what the Lord was trying to say was that this kind of love is not like you have always known. This kind of love that I want to share with you is not like you have always practiced. This kind of love is not like anything the disciples had ever experienced before then. This kind of love is not the kind of love we see just in the society. This kind of love, it's not the kind of love that anybody can easily rationalize, and in objectivity, we agree with it. This kind of love. And Jesus began that conversation by saying, a new commandment I give to you. And I was wondering, at the age of the disciples, Jesus can be introducing love to them. And in the introduction, he began that it is a new commandment. What have they not seen at their age? In fact, by physical age, with physical bodies upon the earth, Peter was even older than Jesus. So what was Jesus trying to say? What was this young man trying to say? Peter may say in his heart. What are you trying to say? A new commandment on the matter of love? It's not possible. A new commandment I give to you. If we are going to experience the kind of love that will engender peace and unity in our midst, number one, we must see it as a new commandment. It's not like what you have always known. It's not. If we are going to practice love like we have always known, we will not be hitting the bull's eye. If we are going to practice love like we have always done it anyhow, we are not going to be getting to our promised land. If we are going to practice love like other people practice love, then eventually we will discover that there will be something wrong with that practice. And Jesus began to say, the matter I want to introduce to you is a new commandment. Please don't rationalize it with what you have always known. And that is the biggest problem of the church. The moment we continue to see a new revelation, like what God had done in the past, is already a problem. The moment God wants to begin a new move, and we already concluded in our mind that it is like we have always known, it is an error. For the revelation of God is progressive in the midst of his people. So this morning, God is introducing to us a new love, not like we have always known. And Jesus began, and he said, this is a new commandment. So what was the previous commandment? So it may be good for us to understand this by understanding what were the previous commandments in the matter of dealing with men. I saw in Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 to 25. Exodus 21, verses 23 to 25. That there was a practice that was holding sway at the time. The Bible says in Exodus 21, verses 23 to 25. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Verse 24. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand.
foot for foot. And in 25, bone for bone, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. No excuse. This was the commandment the people were dealing with. They were dealing with a commandment that was an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, bone for bone, wound for wound, injury for injury, slap for slap. In fact, there were certain commandments in the scripture that said, if somebody does this to you, then you have the right to do, because he has done that to you. You are not guilty by law. In fact, anywhere they take it, even to the court of love, nobody can judge you to be wrong, because the person first meted out to you an injury. So by law, you need to do back. In fact, people will say, you have carried out a great service of love that you did not do otherwise. And Jesus said, this is what you have always had. This is what you have always known. If they slap you, you slap back. If Deacon Oyatogun comes to me to give me slap, I have the right under the law to disregard his heights and just jump up with my fantastic heights and reach to his cheek and give him his own. They will bring us to the courts. They will say, no, you are in order, because eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, bone for bone. They ask you, Deacon, did you burn him? He said, yeah. Did you wound him? Did you injure him? He said, yes, I fell. He said, then you it's okay. Ike, congratulations. You are growing up to be a good father. Congratulations. You're a nice guy. Tooth for tooth. Even in our places of work, when they begin to analyze issue, they will begin to say, did this happen? They say, yes. Did this happen? They say, yeah. Did this one happen? Did you do this? Based on what you have done, what happened is justifiable. Am I communicating? Even in the law courts, when the law court wants to judge a matter, even for those who are legal luminary in our midst, I can see one sitting down there just watching me, Brahman, saying, Pastor, don't make mistake on this matter. They will say, okay, what are the evidences before us? Am I communicating? They say, bring the exhibits. They say, this one is stamped exhibit A, this one exhibit B, exhibit this. The moment the judge can ascertain that every exhibit is in place, the evidences are in order, he said, this is my judgment. The Bible said Jesus came and said, I want to give you a new commandment. You know, listen to me, church, and I like to say clearly, under God, as a servant of God, that if we are going to actually understand what God is dealing in our life since the beginning of this year, we will not go by rationality. We will not go by objectivity. We will just look to God and say, God, what is this new commandment that we have not known before now? We will not be able to understand it by following precept upon precept. We're saying, God, what is this you are saying? It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That was the commandment we have known before. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. The scripture began to talk about the serious matters of the commandments that have been known before. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear what the scripture said? He said you will not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of who? Of your enemies. Of your who? Of your people. You know, the scripture was very clear here about the people you should not take vengeance against, people you should not bear any grudge against. And he says it is against the children of your people. Don't try it. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This was the commandment that held sway at the time. The moment anybody from your clan, the moment anybody from your village, the moment anybody from your city, the moment any of them from your own household is involved in a matter, don't take vengeance, it's your brother, it's your brother. Don't take vengeance, it's your brother, it's your brother. Scripture didn't tell us if he was an alien. Scripture didn't say if he was a foreigner. Scripture didn't tell us what will happen to the one that is not a brother. He said, once it's your brother, don't take vengeance, because he is your brother. And that was the commandment that held sway at the time. When Jesus saw some of these things, he said, I'm coming to change certain things. And I'm praying all of us today, God will be able to help our lives. To the extent that our love will not just be because it's my brother. Our love will not just be because it's a Yoruba man. Our love will not just be because it's an Edo woman. Our love will not just be because it's a party member. Our love will not be because he went to University of Calabar. Our love will not be because it's my neighbor. He lives next door. Because when I need something, he'll be the first I will call. No, Jesus said no. That is the love as practiced before. I want to give you a new commandment. All those kind of love, they are old school love. Old school love. Old commandments. And Jesus said, I've come to give you a new commandment. And I was wondering, then Lord, what is this new commandment? Jesus began from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Did you see Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43? Jesus began to speak clearly. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Did you see it? Jesus said, began to say, the commandment that held sway was that love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. The moment your enemy gives you a tooth, or hit, or takes a tooth, take a tooth back. The moment he slaps you, slap back. The moment he injures you, injure him back. The moment he burns you, please burn him back. Jesus said, I know you have heard that. I don't know where you heard it from, but I know you have heard this. That this used to be the commandment. He said, but behold, I give you a new commandment. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. That the conversation began to change. He said, bless those who curse you. He said, do good to those who hate you. He said, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is a new commandment that the Lord is trying to introduce in our midst. Let's check those commandments. Number one, if you check Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, the scripture told us clearly in Romans chapter 12 verse 20 that you need to give food to those who are your enemies when they are hungry. He said, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In fact, that is not my area of concern. I'm not even interested in any coal to be heaped upon the head of my enemy. What I'm overly interested, what I'm totally committed to, is in ensuring that my enemies, who term themselves as my enemies, I will ensure that by God and by grace, that if they are hungry, I must give them food. I will not look at the eyes of any man. I will not look at the color of any man to determine who takes food or who doesn't take food. The Bible says this is a new commandment I'm giving you. The old commandment was that you hate your enemy. But I'm giving you a new commandment. And the new commandment is that you love your enemy. When your enemy is hungry, you give him food. I am giving you this commandment. When he's hungry, you give him food. When he's without a home, you give him a home. When he's without shelter, provide shelter. When he needs assistance, give a helping hand. When he needs support, lend the rope. Ensure that you are there for your brother. What other thing did the Bible say in accordance to Jesus introducing a new commandment? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 41, the Bible told us that Jesus began to talk about the issue of repay evil with good. When your enemy does you bad, you go ahead and do good. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And in verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. He said, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him also. You know, somebody said, well, since the scripture said anybody who slaps you on your right cheek, you should turn the other one. Well, if he slaps me on my left cheek, then that means scripture did not give us provision to turn to the other side. You are only begging the question. You are only what? Begging the question. You know, when they give you backhand slap, you know, the only way a right-handed man can give you slap on your right cheek is to give you a backhand slap. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, if a right-handed man will give you slap, definitely it will be on your left cheek. If a right-handed man, but you know, when he gives you a backhand slap, is on the right side. Scripture says when that slap hits your cheek, all you need to do is just to turn the other side. So when I see Sister Jacinta, who is already shaking her head, say, Pastor, I hear you. Let my neighbor just come and try it. When she tries it, she will know that not be here, then bomb me. Then bomb me for, and let me not mention it, please. Praise God. He said, Pastor, how can they slap me? Slap me how? Who is that person? They don't bond that person. You saw that drama they acted like three weeks ago. That how that lady was just talking, pra, 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 pra. When we finished, I said, my sister, I hope this is not your real life. Because what I had that day, if they put it together, in fact, heaven has finished judgment. Hallelujah. He said, Pastor, how can they slap me? See, when they slap you, wah! Somebody has slapped me before, and I saw stars. In my university day, I went to separate fights. I wasn't fighting. I was a peacemaker, peace lover, reconciling men back to God. And while they were fighting, I said, the way this thing is going, this thing may degenerate to a serious war. And I went in between, went to the person who I felt was my person, who I know that when she sees my face, she will stop the fight. The moment I went in between to hold her, God had mercy on my generation. The way she slapped me, for the very first moment, I lie not to you, anybody who lies will not go to heaven. For the first 30 seconds, I did not see anything. Everywhere was dark. It was like NEPA took light. Everywhere was totally dark. After about 30 seconds, I started seeing different colors of stars. Different colors of stars. Listen, we used to watch cartoon. When you will see somebody, something like you not be seeing stars going up. It's real. Those who acted it, they acted it because they have experienced it before. I was seeing stars going round and round. I said, God, okay, this is death. I was waiting to hear God say, my son, welcome to your abode. I thought I died. I could see no other thing until after about 2 minutes. I started seeing men like trees. If they give you that kind of slap, and God said, if you turn the other one, God, you want to kill me. How can I take this one? I've not recovered. He said, I should turn the other one. The Lord is not saying you should stay there and become a mumu till you die. And that is why the issue of abuse in marriage needs to be properly defined. And I know that under God, by the grace of God, this year, God will be using his son, our pastor, to talk about serious issues in the area of marriage. And that's in the area of our team. You don't just stay in an abusive marriage, but you don't divorce. We must be able to clear that clearly. God doesn't love divorce. And he said that God will not want you to stay put in an abusive marriage till you die. You must seek help. You must stay apart for a while so that you will not die and enter into eternity, into hell. And God will ask you, did I tell you to come now? But because you were in an abusive marriage. But divorce is never a purpose and plan of God for marriage. But must you stay put and die? That is not God's plan. So when God said you turn the other side, God wasn't saying you should turn the other side. God said you should forgive. God said you should forgive. God said you should walk away. And Jesus said, I've come to teach you a new command, a new commandment. This is what I've called you to do. He said, no, Master, what you are telling us, that's not what Moses told us. That's not what our Lord told us. Our Lord said, a tooth for a tooth, burn for burn, injury for injury. He said, no, I give you a new commandment. When they slap you, you walk away. He said, but you know that slap, they pain me. That slap is paining me. That slap is hot. He said, the person even licked his hand before he slapped me. Pastor, that's the sign of that slap is still on my cheek. God said, you need to turn. You need to walk away. He said, I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, you must learn to turn the left and let it slap. Learn to forgive. Some of us are sitting here today. There is someone who injured you, who gave you a slap, who injured you, who gave you injury. Yes, you didn't do anything, but in your heart, you have not let the person go. Somebody said a word to you, and you are so offended, you are so mad at the person, but because you cannot fight, because you are not fighting, but in your heart, every day when you wake up, you have a human being in your heart. There's a human being you are carrying in your heart. Every time you sleep, the bed shake. Because you are not sleeping alone, you are sleeping with a human being in your heart. Each time you wake up, you wake up heavy because a human being is waking up with you. Can I beg you? God said when they slap you, you turn the other side. That is a new commandment. He said, Pastor, I'm not fighting her. Pastor, I'm not fighting her. You are fighting her. He said, Pastor, did you hear us quarrel? You're not quarreling, but your heart says it. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. I used to hear people who pray the prayer. They say, unless God did not do this to me, what did God not do to you? Some of you, some people will go. They will go and stay naked outside. They will say, Lord, you see, I'm not wearing shoe. My leg is touching the earth. My head is touching the earth, and I'm the way God made me. I am like this as Eve. I say, oh God, unless you are not God, stop praying that prayer. Stop praying that God didn't call us to the ministry of that kind of prayer. He says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you. If you permit me, I will say this in 30 seconds. By the grace of God, I stand under God. And I say this, I have never in my life made such prayer. Even when I have had certain persons do certain things to me, I have never in my heart for one day made such prayer. Never. Even when people have canceled me, say, don't worry, leave it for God. I say, it's not for you to tell me to leave it for God. God knows whether I leave it for him or not. I've never said, I leave you to God. I've never even said it. As good as that prayer is, I've never even said it. And I say it behind the pulpit. Can I beg you today? If somebody has slapped you, can you turn the other cheek? Jesus says that's a new commandment. Turn the other cheek. You won't get overly injured. Don't worry. Turn the other cheek. And Jesus said, this is the new commandment. It's a new commandment. Somebody said, Pastor, it's not possible. Yes, that's why Jesus said it's a new commandment. Pastor, how can I do it? Dikin Dipo. Dikin Dipo. Oh, Dikin Dipo. What Dikin Dipo did to me, Pastor, you don't want to know. Dikin Dipo, Dikin Dipo, Dikin Dipo. What did Dikin Dipo do? Pastor, it was Dikin Dipo. When they said they want to do something, it was Dikin Dipo. Who raised his hand? Dikin Dipo, Dikin Dipo, Dikin Dipo. Leave Dikin Dipo. If you hold on to Dikin Dipo for too long, you may not make heaven. Dikin Dipo did what he did on principle. Dikin Dipo did what he did on what he felt was right. Dikin Dipo did what he did on what he felt was just normal. Dikin Dipo may be wrong or right. It doesn't matter. On the day we stand before God to give account of our life, Dikin Dipo will not be there. God will not say, Dikin Dipo, you are responsible. Why IK will not make heaven? Or yeah, because of you, IK enter heaven. Dikin Dipo, hell. God wouldn't do that. God will throw IK into hell. And God will not deal with Dikin Dipo if Dikin Dipo has not repented. Can I beg you? Stop carrying somebody in your hearts. Can I beg you? Release that person. Can I beg you? Turn your other cheek. Let the person slap. Can I plead with you? He said, look, even though this was what it used to be, from today, I release you from my heart. That's what the word of God says. That's what God says. And that's what we must do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 9 to 12. The Bible says that we must repay evil with good. No matter the evil that is meted at us, we must repay with good. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for evil. You have heard before a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, no, no more, no more, no more. He said, but on the contrary, blessing. So when Sister Edna Gusto decides to do me evil, which I know she can never do me evil, so if she tries it, I will just say, oh, I bless you. You know, if she's going, she will say, what kind of a man is this? As I'm doing in this thing, as he they sweet us, he depend. Some of you are still singing it. It's even on your deep, you are put on your status. As he they sweet us, he depend them. As he depend them, he they sweet us. It's not scriptural. The moment something they sweet somebody, they pain you. As they pain them, he they sweet you. You are close to the other side. Though. Anything that pains my brother should pain me. Anything that makes my brother cry should make me cry. When did you become this? When did the church become a place who we borrow what the secular people are doing? We begin to import it. We put it in our status. As it pains them, it sweet us. It shouldn't sweet you. Anything that pains my brother should not sweet me. Anything that makes my brother cry should make me cry. That is the church Jesus died for. A church that they cry together, they weep together, they sing together, they eat together, and they live together. I can't imagine, but I hear the crying and I'm laughing. I can't imagine it. He said, he wounded me. He injured me. It is his own time. How many of you here? I know if I ask now, nobody will raise hand. How many of you here? You had something happen to somebody who annoyed you. He said, God, catch him. Raise your hand. Thank you. You see, we have seen people who are born again in church, Pastor. Few. And you know, some of you didn't raise your hand. You know you have done it. God, catch him. God, not catch him. Now you, God, catch. My brother who offended me, that is not going well with him now, should not make me rejoice. It should not make me rejoice. It should not give me joy. I shouldn't be excited that my brother is falling. In those days, the early church, they wept when their brothers were weeping. They cried when their brothers were crying. They mourned when their brothers were mourning. Why should I rejoice because my sister is weeping? Is that the commandment Jesus called the new commandment? Is that the commandment he called the new commandment? No. That was the commandment our fathers left for us in the law. And Jesus said, I'm come to change it. I must change it. I need to close. The second thing we need to look at, looking at if we are going to, by grace, experience peace and unity in the body of Christ. Listen to me. Before we get there, Jesus was saying, love your enemy. It's a new commandment. The second thing we need to do is that we must embrace it. The first one, we must see it as a new commandment. The second one, we must embrace it as a higher dimension. Listen, I did say to you that this kind of love we are talking about is not reasonable. It's not objective. It's not rational. We can't reason it and accept it. No. It doesn't look normal. It's not what we can just say, yes, it's normal, it's normal. How do you explain Jesus Christ hanging on the cross? And when he was about to leave, he turns to his father and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Excuse me, I want to ask you, Dickness Magic, wonderful woman of God. Was Jesus correct that they don't know what they are doing? Those fool-abled men, they don't know what they are doing. Auntie, answer. Ma, they know. So Jesus was lying. Ma, I beg, give Dickness microphone. Dickness said, Pastor, why did I come to sit in front today? May God have mercy on Pastor. Jesus was seeing people who were crucifying him. In fact, we may have opportunity of looking at something this morning. And they dragged his hand. They pierced his hand. They dragged the leg. They pierced the leg. All his bodies were lacerated. And the sun was scorching on his body. And when Jesus was to pass, when Jesus was to break forth from this passing world into the world of eternity, when Jesus was to go, he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus remembered his own commandment that this must be a new commandment. Yes, ma, you said what?
Yes, sir. The scripture says that if they had known, they would not have.
Oh, God. Hey! No, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Say, have I quoted the wrong scripture? You got it.
Thank you, sir.
That is the finality of that scripture. Because these men were able-bodied men who, by fact, they knew what they were doing. They knew they were killing him. They knew they were doing him harm. They knew they wanted to end this kind of upsurge. But that was all they knew. That was the best they knew. Sometimes when I see people behave somehow, I don't get angry, sincerely. Because of my nature, you know, I told those who came to interact with me when I came for interaction 8 years ago, Dikinara was one of them. They said, Pastor, do you have any weakness? I said, yes. They looked at themselves. They said, Pastor said he has weakness. I said, yes. Anybody who comes here and says he doesn't have weakness is lying to you. He's just trying to enter the church. I'm already somewhere ministering under God's grace. You ask me for weakness. I have. They said, Pastor, please, can you tell us your weakness? I said, yes, I will. He said, Pastor, what's your weakness? I say, impatience. When I see what I don't like, I don't know how to keep quiet. I will just hit it. They say, Pastor, so how do we call you? I say, it's less for you. So if you see anything, go and hold the people who interacted with me. I told them it was an issue for us. This matter is wrong. We cannot deal with it. This, we won't take it. Those were the issues. And when Jesus was on the cross, as he was about to leave the earth, he said, it doesn't matter all I have dealt before now. This was not a personal issue. It was on principle. It was on the matter of the kingdom. I am not going to take this away. He said, disciple, what they are doing, They don't know, because even the word said, if they had known, they would not have crucified. So they didn't know that this death was for eternal redemption. If they knew, and Jesus was just there on the cross, a higher dimension. I want to be in a place where, you know, some of us, we forgive when things have not become good for us. You notice we are bad. You were cursing. When God now blessed you, you now say, I forgive you, Shah. Who won't forgive? Maybe you have become blessed. But it was in the heat of Jesus' problem. He said, Father, forgive them. I've not seen that kind of love. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. So the new commandment comes with a higher dimension. A higher dimension. And that's what the word of God is saying to us this morning. We must embrace it as a higher dimension. It's not reasonable. It's not objective. It's not rational. It's not what you can rationalize. If we are to explain all these things along these lines, we would definitely find reasons not to love. Somebody was the one responsible for why you are walking the way you are walking. Each time you come to church. He said, Pastor Ike, why are you walking like this? He said, it's Pastor Togbe. What did Pastor Togbe? This man, he doesn't know how to drive. They told him to warm car. From warming, he kicked it. From kicking, he pressed. Pastor Togbe, how do I forgive you? That when people are going running, I cannot run. I'm in a place, they shout, Boko Haram, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. I cannot run. But you can run. How do I forgive you, Pastor Pe? The reason why I don't have a job now is because there was a man who sat on the board and approved my sack. Meanwhile, this man will attend the same church. How do I forgive him? Each time I come to church and I see you, and you see where tie. You see where tie. Evangelist Yari. You see where tie. You see where tie. You still come to church. And you were the one who said they should sack me. And you and your wife, your children, all of you are enjoying. Look at me. Look at my children. Young children. Your own children are okay. You did well. You see, I was so. Can you imagine Jesus saying, a new commandment I give you? Love him. So I go to Dickin, I go to Brotok with my half leg. I think, Brotok, how are you? Do you want shoe? I bought shoe for you. Me, we don't get leg. I gave him shoe. A new commandment I give to you. You know, people will say, Pastor, it's not normal. It doesn't have to be easy. It's a higher dimension. How did I know? Let's go back to our text that we read. In John chapter 13, the Bible says, in that scripture that we read, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. How? As what? As I have loved you. The only way for us to be able to understand this is for us to see how Jesus loved the church. He loved the church even when they were beating him. He loved the church when they were killing him. He was forgiven. Can you imagine Jesus Christ asking? He said, one of you will betray me. You remember that scripture? When Jesus was asked that one of you will betray me, he said, Lord, who is it? Who is it? And Peter told John, he said, John, ask the master, who is he that will betray you? Who is he that will betray you? And John reclined to Jesus and said, Jesus, who is he that will betray you? You know what Jesus said? Jesus took bread and put it. And he told John, he said, the one that will betray me is the one I'm giving this bread. And he gave him bread. And the moment he took it, Jesus told him, he said, Judas, what you have to do, do quickly. Did you see the reaction of the disciples? How many of you remember the reactions? How many of you remember? The Bible said all of them, they felt that because he was the keeper of the bag, Jesus was sending him to go and buy things that he needed for welfare. Meanwhile, Jesus was saying, you want to kill me? Quickly go and do it. Judas, you know I know that you want to kill me, but you're going to kill me. Judas, you know I know. I know you don't like me. I know you hate me. Take, go and start new business. Judas, I know all the gossip. You are gossiping behind me. Doesn't matter. Take, you want to start Uber business. Take, go and start Uber business. And you know Judas took it too. Judas that went to kill him still took that bread. Judas, I know that you are the one who rose up against me at church council. You know that somebody told me. You know you asked me last week that you want to start business. This is the money for you. Send me your account number. Will you be able to send the account number? Bro Jide, will you send? Bro Jide, I'm asking you, don't laugh. Will you send? He said he will not send. Bro Jide will send. Bro Jide will send. But that's what all of us are doing. Jesus said this is a higher dimension of love. Even though I know you are to kill me, I will still give you bread. You see, I'm about to go. I will not end my time with you with animosity. You just go. Do what you want to do. But take bread. Go and kill me. Do you remember when Jesus returned back after Peter denied him? Do you see when he came, he said, brothers, friends. You know, we have said it again and again here. He said, if it was some of us, if I were to be the one, and you just meet Peter, and again, you didn't meet Peter where you told them to stay. Peter had gone to go and fish. You remember he didn't just go to fish. He was fishing how? Naked. So he had so gone far. If I were the one, I'll say, Peter, stand up. My brother, can you represent Peter? Just try. Peter. How many times did I call you? So you were counting. So you're counting. Peter, come. Stay. Remove your shoe. No. I will so ridicule Peter if it were some of us. Say, Peter, do you remember when I told you that the enemy, the devil has come to sift you, but I pray for you. Do you remember? Do you remember that you were the one I was carrying about when I needed three people? I carried you. You remember? You remember when you talked about that statement, who I am? I told you, upon this confession, I will build my church. Do you remember? Peter, do you also remember that when you were dragging, I said, Peter, hey, before the cock will crow, Peter, do you remember? Peter, they had barely gone. You ran away. Peter, do you remember how you were swearing? Peter was looking at you. You said, I don't know this man. I swear. Peter! But Jesus did not say any of those things. When Jesus met Peter, do you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, Jesus made breakfast. You know, we said it 2 weeks ago. He made them eat. Some of you, if your husband annoys you, before he even eats, you are started firing. It's wickedness. Allow the man eat first. Let him have energy. He said, Peter, eat breakfast. Peter, eat breakfast. After Peter had eaten breakfast, Jesus now asked, do you love me more than this? Go and see that, my brother. The Lord bless you. You're a strong man. All church, clap for him. He's a wonderful man. He's a higher dimension. Church, permit me share with you that scripture. Because we need to understand what happened in that scripture. I struggled with it, but I will share it. Do you know in that scripture of what happened between Jesus and Peter? It was a serious matter. It was a very, very serious matter. I want you to open with me John 21. John chapter 21. The Bible says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, the Bible said, he said to him, the third time, church, listen to me, this is a very serious matter. He said to him the third time, he said to him, he said, Peter, Simon, the son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Excuse me, church. Permit me to take you back to this to class. Do you know the love that is happening here? Let me explain to you. The New Testament was written in Greek. And I hope we all know that. The New Testament was written in Greek language. That is why every time you want to explain God, human language cannot fully explain God. A theologian said, our inward disposition cannot match, or per se, our outward expression. So what we have inside of God, our mouth cannot say it all. God is bigger than anything we can explain. You know, when God, when Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me more than this? Amos, come. Let me tell you what Jesus was doing with Peter. So that you will understand. You can go back and read the Greek Bible. You say, Pastor, how can I read the Greek Bible? You can Google. Google is your friend. Just Google and say Greek interlineal of John 21. It will show you. You will see the original texts. And you see what Jesus was telling Peter when he was saying, do you love me? Let me explain. And he told him, he said, Peter, do you agape me? How many of you know there's something called agape love? How many of you know there's something called filial love? How many of you know there's something called erotic love? You know this love exists. What Jesus said the first time in Greek translation, this is the very first time in my life since I began to preach, I'm doing this, of taking you to Greek. But it is good for us to understand this scripture so that we don't miss it. Jesus was asking, do you agape me? And Peter answered, I feel you. Peter knew Jesus was going somewhere. Peter knew that the kind of love he was expressing was not the proper love. Peter knew that if it was agape love, he would have gone to die with Jesus. He said, Lord, I feel you. Jesus said, feed my lamb. Jesus came again and said, Peter, do you agape me? Peter answered again, I feel you. Excuse me, was Peter answering Jesus' question? You know, when you read the English, you would think that the whole answer has been given. Jesus was asking Peter about agape, and Peter was answering filio. And at that point, Jesus said, tend my sheep. Then the third time, Jesus said, all right, let me now ask you a question. Since I'm asking you about agape, and you are talking about filio, Peter, for the third time, do you really filio me? Peter got angry. Go and read it. Do you really feel me? Even the small one you're talking about, do you really love him? Peter said, Lord, you ain't no. Can you play me that video? Jesus' love was sacrificial. On the cross, what Jesus did, I can't imagine. Media, can you play me that 1 minute video? I hope you captured it. And I was one, Jesus said, do you feel me after this thing? Do you really love me? He says, it's filio I have. Give it video. Give it sound. He said, do you love me? He said, when I was going through all these things, Peter, you were watching. Peter, even if it was Andrew that was doing this, You were there. Peter, you were there. Peter, you saw it. Peter, you saw it. Peter, you saw when they put crown on my head. Peter, you saw when I suffered. Peter, you saw my pain.
No excuses.
Peter, you saw it. Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really love me?
No, man.
Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really love me? Consider. Peter, do you really love me? Peter, all these things you saw. Peter, you saw when they were flogging me. Peter, do you really love me? This is a new dimension. Peter, after all this pain, I came back. When I saw you, Peter, I didn't remind you of your error. And Peter, I just went on to give you breakfast. Can I beg you, who has offended you? The person was there when you were suffering. He saw your pain. The reason for your pain is because of the person. And you have returned and you want to be vengeful. Jesus was not vengeful. When Jesus returned, he gave Peter breakfast. It's a higher dimension of love. 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 This love we are talking about, you cannot say because of this. No, 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 no. We can't do that. Higher dimension of love. And in verse 35, as we close this message, verse 35 of John 13, the Bible said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, by what? By love. By embracing this new commandment. Not the preaching. Hey, pastor, you can be a good preacher. Pastor, you can preach from morning till night. I don't care. You know what somebody said? I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. We don't want to know how much you care, how much you talk about love. How many of us can show love? How many of us can forgive our brother? How many of us pass by somebody every day? You see the person weeping, you see the person in trouble, and you care nothing. It doesn't bother you. You don't mind, you don't care. How many of you back home, you have enemies in the village? Some of you in your compound, you have enemies in your compound. And you are still comfortable sitting in church, raising up holy hands. And every time we raise up holy hands, God closes his ears, his nose, because stench is exuding from the inside of us. I want to ask you this one. Is there anybody you are holding on to? After what you saw Jesus do, Jesus still came and he said, Peter, come and eat breakfast. Peter would have been wondering, what kind of breakfast do you want me to eat? He said, come and eat breakfast. I hold nothing against you. I have nothing against you. Peter said, but master, I did not. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't let anybody hear it. You denied me quite all right, but I've forgiven you. He said, but master, some of you, the moment somebody offends you, you must make that person guilty. You must put the person in a bad state. I have repented many times in my early days that God, I don't want to hold anybody in my heart. I'm even too small to even carry somebody in my heart. Where will I put the person? And somebody sitting down here, there is somebody you have made up your mind you will never forgive. He said, until that person does this, does this, does this, does this, does this. Somebody told me, unless he goes to the village to see my parents, then come back. No, you don't need to do that. Jesus came and gave breakfast. By this shall men know that you are my disciples. Not by your preaching. It's not your preaching that will make men know that you're my disciple. It is by your love. It is by your forgiveness. It's by your show of care. It's by your letting somebody off from your heart. If I say, my brother, you sinned against me. You remember what you did against me? My brother, I don't hold it against you. Clear from my heart, it's over. I don't hold it against you. He said, are you sure? He said, no, it's over. What did you do? I can't even remember what you did. That is love that can bring peace. Show me one picture. Show me that picture I showed you. I want to use this to close. By this shall men know that you are my disciples. By this. Show me the video of that young man. The young man carrying the brother. Media, help me. Help me, media. Oh, Pastor Tokwe did not even pray. Okay, he did. All right. How many of you have seen this picture? You've seen it before, right? If you have seen it again, let me see your hand. You've seen it before. Oh, God bless all of you who have seen it. And for those of you who haven't seen it, God bless you all the more. This picture is a picture of a young man And if you see on his back, you will see that he's carrying somebody who is probably sleeping. Eh? Why? But you didn't raise your hand. Why are you saying dead? He said, you raised your hand. All right. Which of you didn't raise your hand? You didn't raise your hand, but you said dead. Why did you say dead? Why are we concluding so quickly? Okay, the way the head is, you know, he's maybe sleeping. Even the Bible said some of us will fall asleep. That child, dead. That child he was carrying, dead. Dead. And in the Russian war, this young man decided to strap his dead brother on his back. That's his brother. He strapped him to his back and was going to the place to bury him. And some of the Russian soldiers met him. He said, no, throw him away. He's already dead. He would weigh you down. He's too heavy for you. Yourself, you are not even big. You are small. You can't carry this boy. He's dead. Throw him away so that you will not be disadvantaged. You know his answer. He said, he's not heavy. He's my brother. The moment I read that, I wept. It's not heavy. It's my brother. It's not heavy. It's my brother. It's not heavy. It's my brother. My daddy, before my daddy passed, one of his brothers treated him badly with the repairs of his car. When my mother complained, my daddy says, okay, leave it. He's my brother. It's not heavy. It's my brother. But Jesus said this morning, a new commandment I give you. He doesn't need to be your brother for you not to feel the weight. I don't care whether he's from Niger State or from Taraba State. I don't care if he's from Delta or from Imo State or from Kwara or from Ogun State. He's my brother. You can't be heavy for me. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to feel. It doesn't matter. Do me anything. Enjoy me. I won't feel it because you are my brother. We are going to go to the end. I won't drop you. I won't throw you like away like a piece of trash. I will take you to the point that is destined for our journey. You are my brother. A new commandment I give to you. Is there anybody in church this morning? Your brother has become too heavy for you. Maybe he became heavy because of what he did to you at your place of work. I don't know, maybe he became too heavy for you because of what he did to you relationally. Maybe he stole from you. Maybe he stole from you. Maybe he entered into your family and scattered your family. Maybe the moment he invaded your home scattered. Your business was doing well until you brought this young man. This young man came and siphoned everything off your business. Your business is suffering right now just because you brought this man into your business. Can you strap him on your back and carry him? Let people complain by the side and say, drop this boy. Tell them, don't worry, I'm not going to drop him. He's my brother. Can you say to somebody, I won't drop my sister because I know how much she means to me. Yes, she might have done me wrong. Onesimus did more. Onesimus did more to Philemon. Onesimus did more to Philemon. Philemon said, no more with Onesimus. No more with Onesimus. I don't know how many Onesimuses are in church this morning. Philemon said, I wouldn't let you cheer anymore. But Paul came and Paul said, can you charge his case on my account? I've come this morning like Paul to tell you to charge that case on someone's account. John Mark was never profitable to the ministry of Paul. And on the day they were choosing people to go on ministry, Paul said, I won't go with John Mark. I won't go with John Mark. I won't go with John Mark. John Mark left us halfway. But Barnabas said, if anybody fails to carry John Mark, I will carry John Mark. Let everybody say they won't go with John Mark. I will go with John Mark. I need John Mark in this ministry. And Barnabas came, carried John Mark. Barnabas held John Mark. He strapped him to his back. All the John Marks that everybody have left because they are dead, he strapped him to his back and they were going. All of a sudden, John Mark felt the warmth of fellowship. John Mark felt the warmth of brotherliness. John Mark felt the warmth of love. John Mark came back to life. John Mark became profitable in the ministry of Barnabas, but much more. After a while, Barnabas sent John Mark away to go and be profitable in the ministry of Paul. The same Paul who said, John Mark, I don't need you. John Mark came back and became a profitable tool in the hand of Paul. Some brothers you are throwing away today, maybe the brothers by destiny God has placed to better your lot tomorrow. Never think you have control of tomorrow. Never think so. Never conclude so quickly that you hold tomorrow. No man holds tomorrow. Today we are here, tomorrow we are gone. And that is why there is nothing on this side of the divide that should make any man feel puffed up. Because today we are here, tomorrow we are no more. So now that we are here, let's carry our John Marks. Let's carry our Philemons. Let's carry our brothers. Strap them to our back. Carry them to the ghetto. I won't drop that brother. I won't drop him. It doesn't matter what you have done to me. I won't drop you. I will carry you till I have no more strength to carry. Even Jesus was carrying the cross. He kept carrying. He didn't beg anybody to carry his cross. He kept falling. He kept falling. He kept falling. Till he could stand no more. And all of a sudden, there was a Simon. Can we strap our brothers? There's a brother who is dead. Dead financially. Dead emotionally. Dead psychologically. Dead spiritually. All he needs are the Barnabases of today. All he needs are... Can you buy that? Can you talk to God? Can you plead with God? Can you plead with God? Say, Lord, let this love... It is when this love is in our hearts that truly, truly, we can become what God wants us to be. Are there men who are dead here? Not deaths, not the deaths of the physical realm. But you know situations have almost finished you. There are two calls I want to make, and I want to see how God can help me make it quickly. You are here in church this morning. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I need this kind of love. Pastor, I have looked at my life. I need this kind of love. Pastor, this is a new commandment. This is a new high dimension. Lord, help me. Pastor, it's a struggle for me because I have issues I'm even dealing with right now. But Pastor, please pray with me. Pastor, I want to turn a new leaf over this matter. Please, can you just raise your right hand? I just cannot walk away with this. I cannot walk away with this. I can't just close my eyes that there are no issues around this. Will you raise your right hand? I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you from here. I'd like to pray with you from here. Say, Pastor, this is an issue. This one is an issue. It's an issue. We have talked about it. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you, my brothers. God bless you, my brothers. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Just raise it high above your head. High above your head. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Say, Pastor, this one, all my brothers will not die. I will strap them. I will strap them to my back. I will carry them to the end. I won't give up on them. There is no need to give up on our brothers. There's no need to give up on our sisters. I can't give up on anybody until God says it's over. It is time for us to become our brother's brother. Time for us to become our brother's keeper. It is time for us to arise and say, if it is about you, I commit my life to it. God bless you, my sisters. These many hands that are up, they say, Pastor, this is an issue for me. I don't know what it is, but God can settle it. God can settle it. God can settle it. Amen. The second call I want to make, you want to give your life to Jesus. You know, God told me, son, if this message you are preaching, if you run foul of it, even you, I will condemn you. And I beg the Lord, Lord, please help my life. I don't want to preach what I have not overcome by grace. You know, a book written by one of our fathers said, becoming by grace. All of us have become by grace. There is nothing we are that we became by ourselves. It was just by grace. You are here, you say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. This is the time. Please, can you stand up? I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. Wherever you are, just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Say, Pastor, I am giving my life to Jesus. God bless you. 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 Ushers, please help. 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 God bless you. Please stand. Please stand. Please stand. Please stand. God bless you. Please stand. Say, I want to give your life to Jesus. Please stand. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Ushers. 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 Please. Please. Thank you, ushers. God bless you. God bless you, ushers. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ left us an example. And this is the matter. We cannot pretend that this is not a serious matter. This is the matter before us. Eternal Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So all of you who stood up to give your life to Jesus, please, can you just come to the front? Can you just come to the front? All of you stood up to give your life to Jesus, please come to the front. Come to the front. And if you also want to decide, you want to make the same decision, please join them. 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 It's a decision you are making for yourself before the Lord. Before the Lord. Before the Lord. Before the Lord. Eternal Father, behold your children. Lord, I plead with you that you have mercy. I plead with you that you have mercy. Help the lives of these ones and draw them closer to you. If there be anything that can be a challenge to their daily walk with you, please, Lord, take it away. Draw them closer and closer to the cross and make them yours. Thank you, loving Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Please turn to my left and your right and meet the people here. God bless you. As I go to take my seat, how many of us can strap the dead child again? I want you to think about this. I must settle the case. Don't give up on anybody. Anybody God brings your way, God brought your way because he knows that in your hand he has put what you need for that person. Don't give up on the person. Don't throw the person away. Carry him. Even when people come to tell you that he's too heavy, throw him away. Tell them, no, he's my brother. I won't give up on my brother. But remember, the brother is not the party member. Remember, the brother is not your village person. Remember, the brother is not a member of your kindred. Who is that brother? A new commandment I give to you, your enemy. Whether Boko Haram, whether killer herdsmen, whether the man that made you lose your job, whether the man that almost scattered your family, love. May the Lord help us. We sing that song, let there be love shared amongst us. Oh, let there be love shared amongst us. Let there be love in our hearts. Lay down your love, sweet.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road, Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.